In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When the Swiss theologian Karl Barth was at the apex of his career, a young, not to mention bold, seminarian asked him if he could summarize in just one sentence the content of what many consider the greatest and most erudite theological opus of the 20th century, Barth's multi-volume Church Dogmatics. The famous theologian's reply without hesitation was, "Of course I can. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." Here was a theologian capable of plumbing the depths of academic theological study, but who was aware of the profound simplicity of the faith. In our own lives and ministries, I wonder if we are sometimes so enmeshed in the complexities of the Christian faith and its application to an equally complex society that we tend to forget its simplicities. To be sure, we must not lose our theological sophistication. The context of a symposium such as that in which we've been engaged is the last place this morning to suggest that we jettison our theological equipment and relapse into the simplicities of the time. Whether they be activist, pietist, or pseudo-psychological, they only distort the mission of the church in our culture. But after all of that is said and done, there is one ultimate simplicity to be maintained about the nature of ministry in a non-markedly, non-simple world. And that simplicity has come to our ears just a moment ago once again in those words of St. Paul. The plainest statement of what we do and who we are that one can discover in the entire Bible. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. That is the fundamental affirmation about the work of the ministry. Some months earlier in his first letter to the Corinthians, the apostle had made the same point in these words. "When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." We are not to preach ourselves. And what a manifold number of ways there are just to do that. One is by being plain egocentric. It's easy for the preacher to exploit his personality. You've encountered them. You've seen them in the media, especially in the past year or so. They are good mixers. They interrelate well at social and political gatherings. They sparkle on television talk shows. They are fabulous fundraisers for a myriad of causes, including political ones. And certainly we need a good personality. But unfortunately, the preacher is just as susceptible as many public figures to the solicitations of the old Adam. He may come to parade his personality and bask in the spotlight, but we are not to preach ourselves. We may preach ourselves too when we become obsessed with position. And so some work to obtain a better position with a larger parish, or seek to become influencers to the rich and famous and powerful and justify it all by the plea that, well, after all, we need a sounding board They have a voice that needs to be heard, and their position is supposed to be a sounding board. And if they could only obtain the right kind of sounding board, the word would be all the more influential. But Paul says, we do not preach ourselves. Rather, we preach Christ Jesus the Lord. Even as we exchange perspectives on the role of the ministry in the public arena, what a sure and guiding principle this simple biblical injunction remains. We are called to wield an instrument of exceptional power. But it is a power not to be found within ourselves, but in Christ, the power of God. The incarnation, the humanity, the words and works, and above all, the cross of Jesus Christ. That is the true secret of our strength, the true secret of all of our lives. We may, like St. Paul, go forth into this complex world in weakness and much trembling. Like him, we may be painfully conscious of our defects, but also like him, we go forth conquering and to conquer if only we march in the strength of the cross of Christ. Our message is one that is of infinite righteousness and of infinite law, of love, of law and gospel, as we say. Our message is a truth that rebukes and redeems, a message that overawes and regenerates. Our ministry is the ministry of the Word, and the Word is power. The kind of power which reigned at Calvary for all of us, a power which transformed an instrument of death into an altar of salvation, that transformed the act of humankind's consummate hatred into the vehicle of omnipotent divine love. As Luther said, our Lord is he who has brought us back from the devil to God, from death to life, from sin to righteousness, and now keeps us safe there. In terms of our conversation these days, this means that we are called to proclaim God's justification of the godless by grace through faith for Christ's sake. We have the singular responsibility to announce the ultimate victory of the one who has, in the words of Colossians 2, disarmed the principalities and powers and made public example of them, triumphing over them in him. The church has always been tempted to let its message be defined by social and political priorities. We must insist that God sets the agenda for the church. And so we preach in this complex, ambiguous society. But we preach not ourselves. We preach the message and life and live the life in which Christ is central and dominant. And that, of course, brings us to the second half of the verse. We preach not ourselves, but we preach Christ and ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake. That posits our identity. Just servants. To be at the disposal of our fellows, certainly to be agents of healing and reconciliation. Indeed, the proper goal of Christian and non-Christian alike in the civil realm is the advancement of justice, care for the neighbor and the marginalized and the oppressed, concern for the most vulnerable of people. But we are servants for Jesus' sake. The justice of God revealed in Jesus and proclaimed by the church is of a radically different order than that of the civil realm. It is a promise beyond human possibilities that is present to faith. That's the meaning of our Lord's assertion, "My kingship is not of this world. If my kingship were of this world, my servants would fight, but my kingship is not from the world." To be a servant for Jesus' sake, or through Jesus, as the Greek reads, reminds us that our service is in the things of Christ, His worship, His teaching, His compassion, His loving care. The servant for Jesus' sake is not at the beck and call of every crank with an axe to grind, whether that crank is from civil arena or from a denomination. We are not to be diverted to forms of service that are not directly related to the call of the gospel. But finally, most of all, those three words, "for Jesus' sake," recalls us to the amazing grace that was revealed in Jesus Himself. We are servants for Jesus' sake because that was how He came among us. "I am among you as He who serves." That is how the Son of God identified Himself. And that, on a much more finite plane, is our identity as well. Even in a complex world of political and social and economic structures, even in a world where even pastors will make misjudgments and be second-guessed, even in a world where sometimes it really is not all black and white, may we not get caught up in the complexities and the ambiguities so much that we forget this mature simplicity. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants.